Blog Talk Radio.
But at any rate, I'm the creator of the Clown Times Sports Blog. You can find me on the web at www.theclowntimes.net. That's clown spelled with K, by the way. You can find us on Facebook just through a search for the Clown Times on Facebook. You'll be able to find my sports blog fan page. Please like it and check it out. Sure, you all know of this news that's going on at Grambling for the past week or so. Well, actually a little over a week. And I'm here to tell you, it's a hot-ass mess. And there's so much for me to get into, but thankfully we have someone here, my man from the yard, you all know him, Dwayne Nash. He covers all things HBCU sports, so you know he has a little something on the inside of what's going on at Grambling. So without further ado, my man Dwayne, welcome back to the corner, my man.
Always great to be here, Scott. What's going on?
Oh man, you tell me, bro. I mean, I'm feeling that way about Grambling. What's going on? I mean, you know what I'm saying, just to quote Marvin Gaye. I mean, dude. I mean, from what transpired early last week to Grambling's president going on the Tom Jordan morning show. I think it was yesterday morning or this morning, and trying to explain his case. It's just a hot ass mess, man. So. You're the man with the insight, so what the hell is going on at Grambling State University?
Wow. As you said earlier, yes, it's been going on for a week. When it first started originally last week, you know, it was rather soft in my opinion. But it was still, you know, attention getting in terms of players meeting with the president and the athletic director in the middle of the year to air out grievances, and then the type of things right. They talked about in terms of, well, I guess everybody knows about it now. One of the first things to come out was originally the fact that they had to catch a bus to Kansas City and to Indianapolis to play in the Circle City Classic. Wow. The bus ride to Kansas City, if I remember correctly, is about, 14-15 hours, and the bus ride to Indy is about 9 from Grambling. So, you know, they brought that up. Also, they also talked about the fact that, you know, they weren't, food wasn't made available to them on the bus ride. They had to eat in their cafeteria before they got on the bus, which was at around 9 p.m., if I remember correctly, for the trip to Kansas City. And they didn't have any food at all on the bus trip, so my guess is that it also happened on the trip to Indianapolis as well. And they also brought up grievances about a player favorite, Doug Williams, who basically recruited all those guys to come to Grambling, about him being fired and the fact that they were having issues with the then interim head coach, George Ragsdale, and how they had issues with him and how that meeting ended abruptly. The student players just got up and walked out. So, of course, that generated a little bit of buzz, and then it just progressively got worse as the students chose not to attend practice. And then Friday of last week, I keep pronouncing his last name incorrectly. I think it's Pogue. Decided to have a press conference Friday morning with the athletic director stating that everything was okay. But I think there was a phrase that he used that the students didn't like too well, saying that they weren't in charge. You can't say things like that and expect people to not react. And I think that's one of the things that the student athletes held on to. And I think that, along with the other things, like everyone has heard about by now, with the conditions for locker room and some of the other things in terms of financial donations not being allowed to be given to the university, sparked
right.
them to choose not to go to Jackson State.
Dude, how I don't know if you saw the photos on the I assume you did. I only saw a few of them. But the one that stuck out to me the most was some of the pads had damn mildew on it. That's nasty.
You know what, in a sense, I wasn't expecting you to say that, but I was hoping that you would say that because that was the one that stood out to me as well. I mean,
yeah.
I've seen the pictures of the floor padding being not being there, tile being missing, and heard stories about uniforms not properly being washed. But to look at the shoulder pads and to see the mold on the shoulder pads, it slightly sickened me. I'm like, yeah, that was one of the things that really got to me.
Oh, golly, I mean, I'm proud to say I don't have a soft stomach. You know what I'm saying? Not many things give me the heebie jibbies upon sight. That freaked out. That really freaked the hell out of me. I can't imagine those young men having to put on those pads. What mill?
Yeah.
Those pads and smelly ass uniforms that hadn't been washed. That's just beyond gross, man. That's sinful.
Very, very. And the thing is that the student athletes claim that this has been ongoing. And I find it very interesting that there was one alumni, I can't remember what his name is, but he tweeted out something to the effect of, they should be glad that no one put a mic in my face because they will be unhappy with the things that I have to say. That caught
my
attention. And I was kind of eager to ask him what he was hiding. But when you have these type of things that were uncovered, revealed,
right.
You know, I don't even really know if I want to know about the other stuff that's been going on. I think this is enough.
Right. I think this is the tip of the iceberg, to your point. It's the tip of the damn iceberg. And the thing is, I mean, to see, and I'll get to more about the history of Grambling in a minute, but, I mean, just to see a school, a program with a proud football tradition, I mean, Eddie Robinson for years and years and years and years, decades, I should say, decades, you know, bringing that program to prominence, to national prominence. And having players come out there like Doug Williams, the aforementioned Doug Williams, I'm probably going to mess this up, but I think Mel Blount went to Grambling, as well as Everson Walls, and the list goes
on,
players.
Buck Buchanan.
You know, the Hall of Fame players, good players. It saddens me to see this happen at Grambling, even though, I mean, to be sure, it may be happening, I don't want to see anything to this magnitude that goes on at schools. I mean, sure, other schools, especially the smaller, the D1 or D2, D3 schools have, you know, issues, funding issues, keeping up with the equipment, like with the big boys and everything. But you do not wash old smelly uniforms, and you do not clean equipment for young men to use. And also the basketball players, if you think about the weight room and the facilities and other student athletes at the school, I'm at a loss for words, man. I'm at a total loss of words. Please help me out. I don't know what to make of it, man. I mean.
And neither do I, but the thing is, and I'm actually in the process of finishing up a commentary about it tonight. I'm actually publishing it tomorrow morning on my website.
Good.
I'm actually glad that it happened at Grambling. And let me explain why. I talk about it a little bit in my commentary. Had it happened at Xavier in Louisiana, had it been Xavier's basketball team, had it been, say, UDC's basketball team, had it been say, even Coppin State's soccer team. Hell, it could have been Delaware State's football team, another FCS school. It could have been Mississippi Valley State. It wouldn't have gotten the type of attention that Grambling has received.
Right.
Especially national attention. I mean, you're absolutely right. There's no way in the world that this is not going on at other institutions. But for it to go on at an institution that has the history that Grambling does, and for it to be brought to light, was fantastic. It's been said best that other schools are watching. Now, whether or not other students will have the courage to say something and do something about it is a whole different story. Because, of course, the number one thing that was brought to my attention and has been said several times is, will these students' scholarships be put in question because of the fact that they, quote-unquote, quit on the university? But, I mean, it could have been done to Howard, in my opinion, and I don't think it would have received the amount. As a matter of fact, Howard actually two football games, once in the late 30s, once in the mid to late 60s. But had it happened at Howard for A&M, yes. Once in the 30s, real quick, it was because the student athletes during the 30s had to pay for their own meals. So they were boycotting because they thought themselves that they shouldn't have to pay for their own meals. So they boycotted the game against Virginia Union. But to get back on track, had it been another institution, it would have never received the prominence or the attention that it did receive, being that it was Grambling. I mean, that's the main thing you kept hearing about. I mean, from Lou Holtz, Mark May, I've heard Desmond Howard say a couple of things. Howard has said some stuff. The legacy of that institution, especially with its football program being tarnished like this, that's the only way that it would have received the type of prominence, in my opinion.
Yeah, right. I mean, and to your point, we all could thank the late, great Eddie Robinson for bringing Grambling to the national stage, if you will, to the national conscious. I mean, for HBCU, for one thing, and from a lower division, you know, a step below major Division I sports, you know, as it pertains to football especially, is nothing short of remarkable. And everyone knows, let's put it this way, a lot of white people know who Grambling is, what Grambling is, okay?
I mean, it may be because of the fact that Bruce Jenner did a movie about being the first white quarterback at Grambling, or it could be because of Eddie Robinson. Either or, you take your pick.
Exactly. See, I didn't know about that movie about being the first white quarterback at Grambling. I mean, we have to elaborate that on that in a minute. I didn't know that. Quite a much would know. You think about it. I think it's early December. The when is the Grambling Southern game play? Is it late? Is it after Thanksgiving? Or is it early December? I mean, I forgot.
It's a Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Okay, there you go. Saturday after Thanksgiving. Have that been played for years and years and years, decades on NBC? Have the bands come out, seeing Eddie Robinson, he was alive, just roaming the sidelines, and just to be spread, be able for a black college to be on that stage every year, like almost like clockwork, was amazing. So, of course, to your point, when all this shit went down, or started to go down last week, people pay attention now that's after the fact that it is a small HBCU or whatever, but it's Grambling. You know, it's the house that Eddie Robinson built. What's going on at his old house? You know what I'm saying? So it's just insane. It's just insane. But I want to go back to what you mentioned about the students, the Grambling students had to pay for their own meals and stuff and not receiving all their food on the road. The 14-hour bus ride to Kansas City, and you mentioned how long it is to from Louisiana to Indianapolis. too damn long, in my opinion.
Not
all of them get their food? To not all of them getting their food? Is that right?
Yes,
that's
very
crazy.
True. The fact that, you know,
damn,
they just didn't have enough money for them to to have money to pay for food and drinks for them to take with them and travel with them on these bus rides. As a matter of fact, while they were working out this past summer, they had to buy their own sports energy drinks. They had to drink water out of a hose. I mean, that's old school for some of us, but, I mean, you wouldn't expect to see that on a collegiate level for these students to have to work out and train in these type of conditions where they had to drink water out of a hose and have to purchase their own anything, let alone food or drink when they're participating in the name of the university. It's just, it's crazy to me.
9/2013. Not at all. And I'm thinking about those players drinking out of a hose. You're right, that is old school. I mean, hell, we did it as little kids, but, you know, we didn't care to realize that sometimes those hoses that we drink out of, that we drank out of, ain't always clean.
Not at all. We didn't care. We didn't care. We didn't know any better. But, I mean, now we know better.
Now
that institution. Well, exactly. We do what you want.
Yeah, we just call you stupid now.
that these institutions are supposed to have money to take care of these kids and put them in better situations, being that they're on their ground, that they're performing for you know, and to put them through this type of plight is just ridiculous.
Now, speaking of money, what kind of stuff? I read somewhere that Doug Williams, when he was coaching, actually earlier this year before he got canned, he used his own money to help pay for flooring in the weight room, I think it was, and the administration balked at it and said that because it didn't come through their proper channels or some proper channels, that it can't go straight through the athletic fight and go through the university as a whole. If that's true, what kind of bullshit is that? I mean, it seems to me that they wanted, well, by they I mean the president and his cronies, want their hands on whatever money flows through from donors, boosters, whoever, and not disperse it to where it needs to go, just under the guise of it has to be the university gift or what have you. Have you heard anything about that?
Yes, I have, and it wasn't Doug himself. There's an organization called the Friends of Grambling, which are alumni and former players of Grambling that have gotten together to form an organization to donate funds to the athletic department. And being that they're not sanctioned or joined with the university directly, Grambling has decided not to take funds from them. There are two organizations. There was another athletic booster club that's out there as well. The name escapes me at the moment. But those two organizations have been attempting to donate funds, and they were willing to pay for new flooring and a lot of the other amenities that the players have been asking for. And the university told them no. They just flat out told them no. And I find that to be extremely interesting for any institution, especially an institution that's losing money and having funds cut from them to reject free money.
Why do you think they're rejecting money from these non university sanctioned organizations that's willing to give the school money?
That is a fantastic question, and unfortunately, Scott, I do not have an answer. And I mean, these are pro athletes who are willing to give, well, former pro athletes, and I'm guessing there may be some pro athletes that are part of these organizations who are willing to donate money to your institution, and you tell them no because they're not sanctioned through you. It boggles my mind. I mean, I understand that the NCAA is very stringent when it comes to the rules dealing with donations and money. I understand that. But they have to go through the proper channel. Don't just tell them no. What kind of statement is that to say that no, we don't want your money at all? Keep the money.
Right.
We'll hope that the state gives us the money, which they wouldn't. As a matter of fact, the state cut 57% of the funds that they've given them over the past 3 years.
Jesus.
Exactly.
Damn. I mean, that's
have
that's
an organization wouldn't give them money.
Right.
Yeah.
I think. You know, the more I ponder about it, the more I think that, I mean, I said earlier that I thought that the administration at Grambling wanted their hands on the money just to have their hands on the money. I think also when you mentioned, when you like, were dumbfounded as much as I was about why the administration turned down people and organizations willing to give money out of their own pockets to help the university. I think part of me thinks it's a power thing. In other words, perceived power thing. In other words, like, I mean, trying to crawl into the president's head, dangerous as it may sound, you know, he's probably thinking, well, if I let these people, these organizations, give money directly to the athletics department or wherever, that they would want to have a say on university matters. I mean, from going to like smaller schools, we all have the sense of how sometimes politics can play a role in small institutions, particularly older institutions, more tradition, whatnot. And I think I'm insisting that's the case here. But if that's the case, that's the most stupidest ass thing for anybody with any type of position in higher education to have. Just out of ego. That's just very dangerous, and that's obviously very harmful to the university.
And yeah, from my opinion, the president of Grambling, Frank Polk, he seems extremely arrogant to me. I mean, for him to say something like that the students aren't in control, it's going to rustle some feathers, and maybe they do react, maybe they don't, but even still, you don't say stuff like that in a hostile situation. And it just seems to me that there's a possibility that the situation still really isn't over. I mean, it may be resolved for now, being that the public eye is on them. But once everybody starts to back off a little bit, you know, I'm a little concerned about what happens to the kids. Now, the president has said that, you know, they will not take any action against them whatsoever, but who's to say that he won't do it later?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I really hope that a lot of these kids aren't affected academically because they chose to take a stand for their well-being. I mean, it's a mixture of both health and want. I mean, yes, they didn't necessarily need Doug Williams there as a head coach, but it was a one of theirs, and all of those guys were all recruited by Doug. These are all his guys, I mean, including his son, but these are all his guys. They've all played for Doug. They've won for Doug. They've been in holes. As a matter of fact, when they won the SWAT championship 2 years ago, they started out the year 1-4. I completely had them basically out of the hunt for the title in 2011 until they made that run, went to the championship game, and won it all. So it wasn't new to them to be in a hole and come out of it and play well. I mean, they struggled last year when they went 1-10, but they started out the year 0-2, only playing one SWAT game. They could have potentially turned it around. The players claimed that that's what they felt as though that they could do. But to have Doug fired on a Wednesday after promoting the game in Kansas City, how ironic. It was blindsiding to them, and they still haven't gotten the answer on why he was fired.
They never will get the answer, I don't think.
I don't think so either. Yeah. I mean, I've heard all types of rumblings and rumors on what it could potentially be, from the mundane to the extremely crazy, but not too far-fetched. But I truly believe that they won't get an answer.
Now, what things, just give me an example of what rumors you may have heard about why Bill Gwynns was fired.
Well, you know, I'm not one of the gossip, but...
Oh, go ahead, yeah.
But one of the things that I did hear was that T.J. Williams was sent to the Peyton Manning quarterback camp on university funds. That was a rumor that I heard. You know, it seems kind of crazy, but it's not far-fetched. I don't think Doug would do anything like that, but I don't really know Doug like that. So I can never accuse a man of something that I haven't seen him do. So I'm not going to say that he do it, but I just thought that was a crazy rumor to be tossed out there like that.
Well, let's just pretend that rumor was true. Let's just play a game of make-believe. Wouldn't having DJ Williams at Peyton Manning's passing academy that he holds with his brother at Duke University every summer, wouldn't that bring some pub to Grambling? And make
it would, yeah.
And bring a light to HBCUs in general with football, with quarterbacks who may want to better themselves at that academy. Got the chance to meet Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, other D1 quarterbacks and D2 quarterbacks perhaps. Wouldn't that bring positive PR to Grambling or any other small school for that matter?
I'm thinking that it would. As a matter of fact, I think this is the same quarterback camp where your boy Johnny Football decided to get drunk at. Oops, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I can't say that happened because he didn't say that he did.
I mean, he slept in.
I'm sorry, he slept in. He slept in. He overslept. I know. I understand.
There you go. Slept in. There you go.
But yeah, he slipped in at this exact same camp. So you're absolutely correct. It would bring notoriety to the university. It would make, but it also could be perceived as the head coach doing something for his son.
I got you. That makes sense. I guess. I mean, from that standpoint, even given the fact that Doug Williams and the administration were at odds to begin with, at least his current administration, it probably makes some sense to say, hey, he's doing this for his boy on our money. Hell no, you know, let's get him out of here. But it's just too bad. You know, speaking of bad, I felt bad. And I thought about this earlier, but us talking about what we've read or heard, seeing what's going down at Grambling's Elite that brought us to this point, I mean, I should say that led to this point. I'll be honest with you, man. When I first heard of the Grambling players walking out of a meeting where the president and the athletics director came to talk to the team, I thought those were spoiled-ass kids. I honestly thought that, you know, without hearing the other side of the story, the additional side of the story, if you will, that, you know, that's pretty much the way a lot of sports fans and people in the public at large thought. You know, this is another example of entitled kids doing whatever the hell they want to do, feeling that above the law, blah, 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 blah. Until I read more about what happened, what got to this point, and the letter especially flipped me over to the other side in terms of who I kind of excess blame to, if you will, assign blame to. But I would say this, though. I thought that if the kids want to make a stronger impression, I thought that in addition to what they did, I applaud them for standing up for themselves against a bumbling-ass administration like this, who obviously neglected these kids. I wish that they would have, that they being the kids, of course, would have bound together, gotten the resources or whatever they needed, and just did the best they can in cleaning their facilities themselves. You know, washing their own, granted, I know how poor college kids are in general. Okay. I mean, if we're lucky to, like, pay for, like, a few slices of pizza, I mean, that's living it up. But I thought they would have struck a chord with the national media if they would have just said, you know what, bump the administration. We're going to come together. It's us against them. We're going to keep our own house intact the best way that we possibly could, and just use that as another negative PR slap upon the administration. And could you imagine the outpouring of support that that probably would have garnered? You know, I mean, if Oprah still had a show on television, can you imagine her giving money, trying to do what she can to help, that she could help, like Steve Harvey? And I know that Tom Joyner had the president on the show this, like I guess yesterday morning. But I mean, I'm just saying, to me would have struck a stronger chord that the players are coming together, got their own stuff in house, clean up their own, you know, like clean up the facilities the best. They would help with other kids on campus. Who knows? But the fact of the matter is, you know, they did what they felt they needed to do, and God bless them. You know, they used what leverage that they had to get the point across. But I thought they would have probably struck a stronger chord, and they would have done those things. I mean, maybe just me being stuck in Pleasantville, but I thought that that would have been made a strong impression, at least, on everyone.
Actually, you're not far from the truth. I think that route would have been a very strong statement. I mean, just imagine the headlines that would have received, troubled students with living in, well, performing in horrible conditions decided to take matters into their own hands. Yeah, it would have made national news. Oh, yeah, it would have been perfect. But I just find it extremely interesting, and I'll get back to public reaction in just a minute. I just find it extremely interesting that once, you know, the news made national outlets, and ESPN came down there with Outside the Lines that, oh, now flooring is here. Oh, the locker room has been cleaned up now. Oh, this stuff is about to get done. You know, now it's being taken care of when we're 5 weeks into the season, and this is my guess, that the students have been complaining about it since the summer because they were talking about how conditions were during the summer, that these complaints have been put out there, but now since the principal's been, you know, I shouldn't even call him a principal. Yeah, in this case, this would be like an ESPN being an outside visitor now coming to your house. Now you're trying to clean up real quick. You know, you got an outside company coming by. You know, we got to look good. I mean, it's a great effort. I'm glad that you did it, but why did it take for that to happen in order for you to react? It's ridiculous.
Right. And that's the thing. It seemed like, you know, you had to know that the president knew what was going on. To be a person in that position to just play ignorant this entire time is just nothing more than sickening. It's just terrible. As Barkley was saying, terrible, you know what I'm saying? And and for Tom Joyner to ask him the tough questions, which I'm glad that he did, and for him, the president, to give the non-answers to those tough questions, it just convinced me even more that he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He should be getting the hell out of there. What was I going to ask you? Oh, yeah. So with this lack of funding going on, has this been going on for, like, years? Is this, like, a year's buildup in terms of funding being, I guess, the stop flowing, like, from the state of Louisiana, I guess they're part of the LSU system, to the university? I mean, has it been the steady decline, or is it just because of legislation? I mean, I'm just throwing stuff out there. So how long has this been funding been going on?
It's been a steady decline, and actually it's a federal thing. All states have been affected by it. If you look back to about maybe as far back as I can remember, would be like 2007, 2008, maybe even before then. I remember even while I was back in school in the 90s, they talked about consolidation of HBCUs with traditional white schools then.
Right.
And that was a rumor back then about how, you know, our beloved A&T, and this was just rumors, of course, potentially being merged with UNCG. I heard rumors about Florida A&M being merged with Florida State. But up until about maybe 5-10 years ago, there were talks being that, you know, they wanted to go ahead and cut funding to the black schools, that they should start consolidating these schools. They talked about it in Mississippi, with taking Mississippi State Then, if I remember correctly, Jackson State and one of the other HBCUs. I'm really upset that that third school escapes me right now, and they will probably kill me for forgetting who they are.
What, Alcorn? Are you talking about Alcorn?
It may have been Alcorn.
Okay.
Taking those three institutions and consolidating them. There was also talk about potentially consolidating the HBCUs in the state of North Carolina and in Maryland as well. So this isn't something that's new, not just or just limited to the state of Louisiana. It's going on everywhere. It's just that being that Grambling is such a small institution, and that they were already receiving a little bit of, they already had the athletic department, that is, already had such a small, for them to be hit the way that they were. And your boy Bobby Jindal, I hate to get political, but, he was the one that was responsible for cutting those funds to these black schools, and this is what happens when you lose 57% of your budget over 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what are you to do? You have to cut corners somewhere. And but the thing is, I still stress this, especially as a father. Scott, you're a father. You don't want to have to see your son in these type of situations where their health is put on the line. I mean, sure, you could be
that would
tired
make me
going
want to fight.
A game.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. You know, you could be tired going to a game. But don't put my child. So staph infections can kill.
Yes.
Don't put my child in situations like that. That's not what he signed up for. Not at all. I mean, he signed up to compete in the name of the institution and to get an education.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't sign up to get sick. Not on your watch. Not on your clock. When it's something that you're responsible for. If it was something that my son was responsible for, so be it. But you're supposed to be responsible for this. You handle it. You chose not to.
Right.
This is all stemming back to Polk wanting to convert the image of the institution of being known as a football institution to being known for its academia, which isn't an issue, but there's a way to do it without making the kids suffer.
Right. Amen to that. And, you know, if I'll tell you what, man, some of those kids did suffer staph infections, and I tell you what, man, I'd be one of those crazy ass parents. You know, she'd be running on the field, across the field, to get to the press box or whatever the hell he sits at football games, if he goes to football games, and just see if you see a crazy guy swinging at on headline news, then you know. Then they're going to issue. Okay, be that as may, what do you think is going to be the next steps going forward? What do you, if you look in the crystal ball right now, what do you see happening as far as to the maybe the football program down the road, or to the stupid ass president down the road? To the players? What do you see in the crystal ball? What's your hunch of what's going to go down the next maybe year, 2-3 years or so?
Well, the students wanted the players wanted him wanted Frank Polk fired. That's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Then yeah. Right.
But what I see, there are two different visions I have. I have an actuality and a hope. I'm going to start with my hope. I hope several things. That one, the institution somehow allows these two organizations, the Friends of Grambling and the, I can't remember the name of the second organization, to start donating funds to the university and its athletic department. That's my hope. Somehow they need to find a way in order for that to happen. I also hope that this entire situation is forgiven, not just by the university itself, not just by Grambling, also by Jackson State, the SWAC, HBCU fans as a whole, and whatever type of job situation that these kids decide to go into. Because once they leave Grambling, however they leave the institution, the stigma of potentially being considered a quitter is going to stick with them for the rest of their lives. Potentially. Depending upon who sees them.
Right.
You know, some people sees the situation as these kids taking a stand against horrible conditions. Other people saw it the way that you just said earlier, and actually the way that I kind of saw it, because I only heard part of the information, that these kids quit on the university.
Yeah.
And they just decided to ruin Jackson State's homecoming.
Right.
You know, so I hope that no one holds on to that and affects these kids. But what I see happening is some sort of tension going on between Pogue in the athletic department. Well, I shouldn't even say the department, with Pogue and the student athletes until they all leave, however that is. And I'm hoping that he doesn't take away these kids' scholarships because they took a stand the way that they did.
Right.
And I also hope that conditions continue to get better, because you're absolutely right. These kids shouldn't have to travel on bus, especially. As a matter of fact, yes, they played Alcorn in Kansas City. Alcorn flew. They had to catch the bus.
That's right.
You know, so I'm hoping that their situations get better. I'm also hoping that, and this is something else I want to talk about in my piece as well, that alumni take a look at this, because this is one thing that was never talked about in this entire situation. I mean, yeah, sure, it was talked about how, you know, these organizations like Friends of Grambling were hindered from donating funds, but it was never talked about how only about 5 to 9% of HBCU alumni give back to the institutions. You have a higher number, not even just giving back, at least attending the games. Because I've heard many a time where people have complained about a $40 ticket to an A&T homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
I understand what you may have been used to in the past, but in order for the university to grow, you have to pay a little bit more. $40,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I understand if you're unhappy with the product that's on the field. And you and I both know, watching A&T's football team throughout the 2000s has not been a pretty sight.
Right. Yeah, I can attest to that.
I may not have been able to donate to the university, but whenever they came to the D.C. area, I paid and I went to go see them play. Whenever they went to Baltimore, I paid and went to see them play. But you just hear about people not wanting to go to these games because it's too much money. But they'll spend $100, $200, $300 happily to go see a University of North Carolina game or a University of Maryland game or whomever school, LSU game. As a matter of fact, a friend of mine pointed out the fact that, you know, why is it that we complain about paying $40 for a homecoming game ticket when that Alabama-Texas A&M game was averaging out at about, what, $500, $600 a ticket?
Mm.
And people were, and the game was sold out. You know, you don't care about, you know, Penn State, Florida State, Virginia Tech, Oklahoma, Nebraska. You don't hear about these institutions complaining about the price of a ticket. But you'll hear somebody complain about a $15, a $20 ticket, a $5 ticket. Game of Bowie State that I went to a couple of weeks ago was $15. $15 is not bad at all. It's a way to be entertained and to also help out that institution. If you can't make a donation, at least go see them play. At least pay to do that.
Right.
You know,
right.
So that's my hope. But yeah, I really see them being at odds for some time until this situation can be resolved through funds. That's the only way that the thing is going to get better, is if they get the money. And then it'll also kind of help too if they start winning games. So that kind of winning cures all ills, as we already know. But a little greenbacks would help us as well. But and that's the only way that I see the situation getting better is if both sides can be forgiving, continue to move on, and they somehow get funded to take care of this stuff.
Great stuff, man. Great stuff. Hey, yo, give give the listeners like your website URL so that they can like check you out, when, especially once you get the piece up on the website.
Oh yes, yes, yes. You can follow me. You can catch me on the internet. My website address is theyard-hbcu.com. You can follow me on Twitter. That's at theyard-hbcu, all one word, no dash. You can follow me on, you can like me on Facebook. That's at yard-hbcu. You can catch me potentially at your favorite black college football game somewhere in the near future. You can catch me in the streets of D.C. Catch me at Nano's buying chicken.
Oh Lord!
Yes,
tell it, tell it. I'm here in D.C.,
yes,
so you know it. So you know I'll check it out.
But yes, like I said before, my piece with my commentary about what's going on at Grambling, I will be releasing that in the morning, along with a string of videos that have been released by all types of major media markets, ESPN, Tom Joyner, whomever. Being video or audio of everything that has gone down within the past week. So just in case if there was something that you missed, I'll have
right.
it all for you on my website.
Great. Great stuff, man. Yo, thanks a lot for breaking this down. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you for having me, Scott.
All right, peace out. That's my man, Dwayne Nash at The Yard, HBCU. Great stuff. Very, very, very compelling. I mean, the stories about them not getting their food, now all the players getting their food on those long-ass bus trips, that's just criminal, man. That's just cruel and unusual punishment. Even though I am curious about that movie that you said, Bruce, yeah, somebody put out about the first starting white starting quarterback at Grambling. But at any rate, nonetheless, it's good stuff. So be sure to check out his website, y'all. Look for it in the morning. I try and post it on my blog's Facebook page. So I'll check it out. So please check it out there. I'll promote it there. So look out for it. All right, y'all. This was fun. And hopefully I'll bring you some more entertainment plus information equals infotainment. This is Scott Burks. Welcome to you listen to the Clown Hour. Thank you very much. I'm tired. About to go to bed. Peace out.